I invite you to please get your Bibles and turn them to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Although in our message, we will only focus on verse 6. Actually, just the first part of verse 6. Let's read God's Word. Isaiah chapter 9, reading from verse 1 down to verse 7. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as we joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. Here comes our text. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Thus far the reading of God's holy word, and may God himself add his divine blessing to it. There is a popular Christmas song that we do not sing in our church, and that's because its theology is unbiblical. The title of that song is Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Listen to what this song says. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. Gonna find out who is naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you are sleeping. He knows when you are awake. He knows if you have been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Now, this Christmas carol portrays Santa Claus as someone who is present everywhere. He sees you when you are sleeping. It also presents Santa Claus as someone who is all-knowing. He knows when you are awake. He knows if you have been bad or good. But this song also describes Santa Claus as a gift giver. However, according to this song, he only brings gifts to people, especially to children, who are nice and good. He does not offer gifts to people who are naughty and bad. That's why this Christmas carol calls people to be good. So be good for goodness sake. In other words, if you want to receive a gift from Santa Claus, You need to be good. You need to do good works. Otherwise, no gift for you. Now, thankfully, our Heavenly Father is not like this fabricated Santa Claus. Because according to our text, Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, God offers His Son, the greatest gift of all. He offers Him to sinners such as we are. Yes, He offers the gift of His Son to naughty and bad people like you and me. Imagine if our God were like Santa Claus. Then no one would be saved. No one would be able to receive eternal life. Because the truth is, we are all naughty and bad. The Bible says, no one is good, not even one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet, our Heavenly Father gave His only Son to us sinners. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so our theme in this message is God's gift of His Son. And what I will do in this message is give you 5 observations about this gift. 5 observations. If you have the program, I have all my points there. They all start with letter P, so you can easily remember them. Here's my first observation about this gift. Now, this gift is a person. Second, this gift is particular. Third, this gift is precious. Fourth, this gift is perfect. And finally, this gift is presented to us, or it is being presented to us sinners. So let's look at these 5 observations one by one. So first of all, God's gift is a person. Notice what our text says, Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. For to us a child. Notice a child, not a thing or an animal, but a child. Now, boys and girls, usually when we receive a gift from others, it's either a thing or an animal. Maybe a t-shirt or a pair of shoes, a thing, or an animal, a pet. Maybe a dog, a cat. But when was the last time you received a gift that was a person? Now, yes, for us parents, there is a sense that our children are gifts from God, and they are persons. If you adopted a child, that child is also a gift, a person coming from another parent or parents. But usually, when we think of a gift, it's either a thing or an animal. But here in our text, God's gift to us is a person, His own Son. Someone has said, this is the love of God, not that He gives us something, but that He gives us someone, a living person, not one or another blessing, but Him, Jesus Himself, in whom is all life and blessing. One hymn says, what child is this? This is Christ the King. Haste to bring Him, Lord. This is God's gift to us, a person. Second observation about this gift. This gift is particular. Notice again what our text says. For to us a child is born, to us a son. A son. Now, the first line of our text is broad. A child. When you say a child, it could be a girl or a boy. But when we come to the second line of our text, it becomes very particular, very specific. Now we know the gender of this child. It's a son. A son, not a daughter, but a son. And this is the very Son of God, whose name is Jesus. Now imagine, God gave us nothing less than His own Son Himself. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 says, "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So this gift is very particular. Third observation, this gift is precious, precious. Now, you have to understand that God the Father did not have 10 children. He only had one son, and He gave His one son to us. Imagine that. Imagine how precious this gift is. I just cited John 3:16. The word begotten there, actually in Greek, comes from two words. Monogenes. That's begotten in English. Mono means one. That's why if you love music, you may have heard of the word monotone. Just one tone. One voice. So monogenes. Genes means born. So the word begotten really means only. Only begotten Son. God has only one Son. And yet, He gave Him to us. This gift is one of its kind. This gift is unique. It's rare. It's priceless. This is the Son of God. And you cannot find that gift elsewhere. You can only find Jesus in the bosom of His Father. God gave us no less than God Himself, because Jesus is God. And this is really the wonder of the gospel, because here you have God the Father giving us His Son, who Himself is God. So God giving us God. Think about that. What God the Father gave to you, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, what He gave to you is God Himself. Imagine that. Imagine how precious that gift is. That's why even Asaph can say, "Who is my portion? But you, the Lord is my portion." Maybe this evening, You feel empty. You have nothing. May I remind you, if you are a Christian, you have everything, because you have God Himself. And if God is your portion, imagine how rich you are. If someone asks you, "Show me your asset. What do you have?" You can say, "By the grace of God, I have God Himself," because God the Father has given His Son to me. He belongs to me, and I belong to Him. Precious gift. Someone has said, "Who can estimate the value of God's gift when He gave to the world His only begotten Son. It is something unspeakable and incomprehensible. But finally, or fourthly, this gift is perfect. Perfect. God gave us just what we needed. We are sinners, and our greatest need is a Savior. And so, God the Father gave us His Son, whose name is Jesus. And the name Jesus, we know, means Savior. So, God gave us exactly what we needed. I have this quote here. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist or maybe an IT. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, salvation, redemption. So God sent us a Savior in the person of His own Son, Jesus Christ. Now, listen to this, boys and girls. Most likely, on Christmas Day, you will receive a gift that you will not like. Maybe even parents, at one point in your life, you received a gift that you did not like. And so you re-gift it. You didn't like it. Maybe you didn't like the color of that t-shirt. Maybe it was too big for you. If it was maybe shorts, pair of shoes, maybe too small for you. The point is, that gift is not perfect. And that's because the giver, whoever gave it to you, is not perfect either. And so, don't expect to receive a perfect gift from an imperfect giver. But here, in our text, we have God the Father, who is perfect, giving us His Son, the perfect gift of all. So this gift is so perfect. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. James says, perfect gift, perfect Savior, perfect Redeemer, the one who gave us perfect redemption. As Fanny J. Crosby says, oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God. Because we have this perfect gift, everything that we receive from God is also perfect. Well, we don't enjoy it right now, that perfection, but we know the time will come someday when Jesus appears, as John the Beloved says, and when we see Him, we shall be like Him. We shall be perfect. And even our bodies will be glorified someday, will be perfect someday. That's why we await the resurrection of our bodies, the resurrection of the saints. And because of this perfect Savior, we also have perfect peace, perfect rest. Everything is perfect because Jesus Himself, in all His attributes, in all His glory, in all that He does, in all that He is perfect. He is our perfect Savior. Now this is what God the Father has given to us. Imagine that. This is the kind of gift that He has given to us. And then finally, this gift is presented. Notice what Isaiah says here. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. A son is offered. A son is presented. Now, boys and girls, not every Christmas gift that you see under a Christmas tree is real. It's real. If you go to the mall, you might see a big, huge, tall Christmas tree. And under that Christmas tree are many boxes. They look like gifts. But in reality, if you open them, they are empty. They are fake. They are only good for decoration. Those gifts are not really being given, being presented, being offered. They are just there for decoration. Now, this gift that we have in our text is being given to us. It is not a fake gift. It is a real, true gift that God the Father is offering to us. Now the question is this: how is God offering or giving or presenting His Son to us, this gift to us? Let me offer two observations. First of all, He is offering His Son to us graciously. Graciously. Now, why did I say that? Well, look at our text. It says here, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. So, who is the us here in our text? Well, looking at the immediate context, we know that the us, the pronoun us here refers to the people of Israel, who were, by the way, living in the darkness of sin during this time. To borrow the words of the Christmas carol, Santa Claus is Coming to Time, during this time, God's covenant people were naughty and bad. Very naughty. They disobeyed God. And yet, here comes this beautiful promise of the gospel. For to us disobedient, to us sinners, to us naughty people, to us bad people, to us selfish people, to us adulterers, to us liars, to us. And you can go on and on. To us, wicked, ungodly people, to us, God the Father presented His Son. What do you call that? But grace. It is pure grace. Now let's confess this. We love to give gifts to people that we love. Who among you on Christmas Day will give a gift to a stranger, and let alone to someone you hate? To someone who is naughty and bad. Who among you will do that naturally? It's not our natural condition. We don't do that way. We parents, we give gifts to our children because we love them. We give gifts to our friends, not to our enemies. But here is the mystery of the gospel, the wonder of it all, that God the Father gave His Son to you and me who are naughty and bad. This is amazing grace. John Newton understood this very well when he wrote the hymn Amazing Grace. I sometimes wonder if we still have this sense of awe when we think of Jesus Christ. Or maybe somehow you think that you deserve Jesus. What you deserve is not Jesus, but God's judgment. What you deserve by nature is not His child, but condemnation. what you deserve. It's not a Savior, but eternal condemnation, punishment in the lake of fire. That's what you and I deserve by nature. But God the Father so graciously gave His one and only Son to us. And this is how God the Father differs from the fabricated Santa Claus. Because Santa Claus only gives gifts to people, especially to children, who are good and nice. And nice. You know what's sad? This, I call Santa Claus theology, is prevalent in many churches today. Somehow we think that God will bless us if we do good works. If we are good and nice, somehow we have the right to make a demand from God and say, God, I am good and nice. I have done this and that. I have given my offering. I have served you in this congregation for many years. Therefore, you must bless me. Sometimes we think that way. But it doesn't work that way. God is not Santa Claus. Santa Claus theology contradicts the very message of the gospel, because the gospel is all about grace. Even the Apostle Paul could say, I am what I am by the grace of God. Or we also call this a personality theology or performance theology. Lord, I have done this, therefore you need to bless me. No. You see, Santa Claus gives gifts on the basis of the goodness of the recipients. Our Heavenly Father, He gives gifts to you on the basis of His goodness, because you are not good. What you think your goodness is but a filthy rag in God's sight. Your righteousness, all your righteousnesses, Isaiah says, are but like filthy rags in God's sight. They stink. But God is so gracious. Oh, God is so gracious. He gave us His Son. He gave us His Son. And here too, we see that God gave His Son. He offered His Son. And He still does. He presents His Son to you voluntarily. Voluntarily. Because going back to the context of this passage, during this time, as I said earlier, God's covenant people were living in the darkness of sin. And they did not ask for a Savior. They did not ask for this gift. Now, even Joseph and Mary, they did not ask for this gift? For the gift of this Son? No. And if we are honest too with ourselves, we did not ask for Jesus. We didn't really look for Him. Because the truth is, He found you and me. As John Newton says, I was once lost, but now am found. Passive, not active. John Newton did not say, I was once lost, but now I found. No. He was lost. How could he found Jesus? He was lost. And so Jesus found him. And that's the message of the gospel. That God took the initiative. He gave us His Son. He gave us what we needed. Amazing grace. How can it be? How can it be? Now, as I end this message, what shall we do then? What shall we do to God's gift of His Son? Three things. First, take the gift of His Son. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, and he's talking about the gospel here. He says, this gospel, or this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am worst. So Paul says, and of course you know that in Paul's mind, the gospel and Jesus are really synonymous. The gospel is Jesus. Jesus is the gospel. He is the good news. And so Paul says, this gospel, or you can say, this Christ, Jesus, deserves full acceptance. And so, what we need to do as God the Father is presenting His gift to us, what we need to do is receive His Son with full acceptance. Embrace His Son. You would be so foolish to reject this gift. And yet the truth is, how many people today decline the offer, the gracious offer of our Heavenly Father? Now, you might say, well, I cannot receive this gift. I cannot take this gift. This gift is too much for me to receive. I hear you. And that's true. It is really too much for us to receive this gift. I don't know if you've received something that you really think is too much for you to receive. I had that. I was in Canada and someone gave me a gift, a really big amount of money, at least for me. You know, $1,000 could be so big for me already. And this brother just shook my hand and there was a check, and when I saw it, I said, no brother, I this is too much. No, I can't. And then he said, no, keep it. It's for you. In ancient history, we are told that Caesar had a friend to whom he once gave a generous gift. But when he offered it, the friend said, this is too much for me to receive. To which the emperor replied, but it is not too much for me to give. And I think that's true. Yes, it may be too much for us to receive, but it is not too much for God to give. Because He gives out of His mercy, out of His abundant grace. It is not too much for God to give His one and only Son. And therefore, what we need to do is receive that gift with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. And that's my second point here. As we receive this gift, thank God for this gift. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Now, do you know the context, right? Paul is referring to Jesus here. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Indescribable gift. This is the gift of His own Son. Who can describe this gift? Now, boys and girls, we love to describe the gift that we receive, right? Okay, maybe mama or daddy will ask you, so what did you get? Yeah, I got this new toothbrush or new dress. So nice. And we describe it. Now, if someone were to ask you this question, can you please express, describe the gift that you have received from God, you would be speechless. Because you cannot describe Jesus. He is
indescribable. That's the kind of gift that we have. And really the proper response is to say, Lord, thank you so much for this gift. I don't know what to say, Lord. Right? We say that, right? When we receive a gift from someone and you really enjoy the gift, maybe in your mind, perfect gift. And you say, you know, I don't really know. I don't know how to thank you, right? You say that. I really don't know what to do. And then the person would say, just, no, it is for you. Just take it. That's what we need to do. If we don't know what to say to God, just say, Lord, I don't really know what to say. But Lord, thank you so much for Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ. My question is this. When was the last time you thank God for Jesus? Yeah, you thank Him for the food that you eat, right? You thank Him for the gift. Oh, I don't know what you got. But when was the last time that you simply thank God for the gift of His own Son? When was the last time? When was the last time you showed appreciation to God? When was the last time you said, Father, I really, really appreciated the gift of your Son. Thank you so much. Finally, tell others about this gift. Tell others about this gift. Do you know the current population of the world today? It's 7.8 billion. 7.8 billion. And 32% of the world population claim to be Christians. That means only about 2.5 billion claims to be Christians. That means 5.3 billion openly refuses to receive God's gift of His Son. And ironically, out of these 5.3 billion peoples around the globe will celebrate Christmas without Jesus Christ. Now imagine 5.3 billion peoples in the world openly reject the gift of God's own Son. And we know that if they die without Jesus, they will go to hell. We take it seriously. We cannot compromise that doctrine. We cannot say, no, it's okay. Well, you probably go to purgatory or, no, let's not talk about that. My friend, this is life and death. If you don't have Jesus, if you don't have this gift, all your Christmas presents are worth nothing. You are worth nothing. All that you are, all that you have without Jesus is worth nothing. But if you have Jesus, you may be the poorest member of this church. If you have Jesus, you have everything. And your riches are beyond measure because you have Jesus Himself. Now, what we need to do is tell others about this gift. If one of your neighbors starts giving gifts, let's say $1 million, because your neighbor is a trillionaire, not just a billionaire, but a trillionaire, and he's giving $1 million to everyone. You just come, and he will give you $1 million. Now, if you came and received $1 million, would you not also tell all your friends, come to that neighbor, now the address is 5969 Leonard Street, come to that house and you will receive $1 million. Now I would probably call all my friends in the Philippines. I'll even tell them, I will pay for your air tickets. This is $1 million, this is a lot of money. Now, the gift that you have received from God is priceless. This is Jesus. Will you not tell others that there is such a gracious giver? Would you not tell others that there is such a gracious Father who gives this gift to sinners, to naughty people, such as we are? Would you not tell them? That's evangelism. That's what we do when we evangelize. We tell others that there is a gift giver. We point them to the Father. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. We sing, I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. And so I challenge you with the love of Jesus. The best gift that you can offer to others, especially to the unbelievers, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them about this gift. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we thank you so much indeed for Jesus, our all sufficiency, for in Him we are complete. He is our perfection. In Him we have everything that we need. Bless your word in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.